If you're a real estate investor or you want to be a real estate investor and you're looking for more money and funding for your real estate deals, regardless of what a hard money broker or lender would say, don't go anywhere because I'm getting ready to plug you into the money. Well, hello and welcome to another episode of Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor. I'm Jay Connor, the host of the show, also known as the Private Money Authority. And if you never heard of private money, wow, I do need to get you plugged in. The first 6 years of our investing business started back in 2003. First 6 years, my wife, Carol Joy, and I, we relied on local banks and mortgage companies, and boy, did I get a rude awakening in January 2009. I had deals under contract and I learned overnight very quickly that my lines of credit had been closed with no notice, like myself and the rest of the world. So I was introduced to this wonderful world of private money in less than 2 weeks of losing my lines of credit. And in less than 90 days, we were able to raise over $2 million in private money from individuals. So we're not talking any kind of institutional money, any kind of traditional banks, no hard money brokers. We're talking about private money. So if you want to get money and get it fast for your real estate deals, I've got a free gift for you. I just released my new book, which is titled Where to Get the Money Now, subtitle How and Where to Get the Money for Your Real Estate Deals Without Relying on Traditional or Hard Money Lenders. So this gift is going to save you $20. You can go to Amazon and get it. In fact, it just hit number one when it came out very recently, but you can get it for free right here from being on the show. Now, I'm going to be totally transparent and ask you to pay a couple of bucks to cover shipping and handling, but the book is free. So you can go to jayconner.com/book, and we'll get the book rushed right out to you. Again, that's jayconner.com/book. Well, I'm so excited to have a very successful entrepreneur as a guest here on the show with me today that's just been really beating down the bushes since he launched his career. He's a serial entrepreneur. I mean, he's got like seven or more businesses that he's running, and he's like way too young to have that much good stuff going on. But nonetheless, he's got a very successful track record in wholesaling, rehabbing, rental business, et cetera, that he primarily focuses in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and also down in Florida. Now, in just 5 short years, my guest has completed more than 100 transactions, including building a rental portfolio of over 40 units. That's fantastic. Now, in 2020, my guest founded a social media management and skip tracing business that helps busy real estate entrepreneurs drive more leads into their business. Now, he's done all this while he was serving as a drill instructor and cybersecurity officer in the United States Coast Guard. He's recently retired to the Williamsburg, Virginia area. Now, on top of all that, he's built his real estate investing team to 18 members who work mostly remotely all across the world. And he's completed, again, 100 real estate transactions while adding that rental portfolio together. On top of all that, he's the founder of the South Jersey Real Estate Investor Network in Atlanta County. Now, his passion is to inspire and share all his tools and experiences that have been a driving force in growing the group from just one investor at the very first meeting to having over 1,300 members of this group, and he's hosted more than 30 events. Investors in the group have completed more than 100 deals since my guest started it. So let's reveal the secret as to who my brilliant guest is. And his name is John Paul Kilduff, also known as JP. So JP, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. That is such a an awesome introduction. Just listening to you say it just is like, it's so surreal, like, and unbelievable sometimes just to hear it. So thank you for that introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so you just started what in 2016 or so?
Yes, sir. That's right. 2016. I had about 5 years left in my Coast Guard career, and I was doing IT at the time. And I just said, I was looking for what I was going to do when I finished my Coast Guard career, and I knew that being an IT wasn't it. I quickly found out when I became an IT that the only thing I really liked about computers is actually the internet. I don't really like anything else when it comes to IT. So real estate was what happened across my plate, and that was back in 2016.
So where do you get, so your website, Inspirable, I'm not sure I'm saying that right.
You nailed it. Yeah.
But anyway, for the sake of our audio attendees, that's www dot the word inspired and then able. So inspired, Inspired, able. Where do you get your drive from? I mean, you're like doing all this stuff and it's like, where's all that come from?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I really do believe that a lot of it is, I grew up and I was classified as ADHD, which back in the day was probably something that was negative and was considered troublemaker and never going to amount to anything because they couldn't concentrate. But over the years, I really found a way to kind of harness all of that energy and then take it and focus it in one direction. And I realized, with that ADD, I was able to like start so many different things and have so many irons in the fire. And then I quickly realized that I suck at finishing projects. And so that's why I ended up growing a team to actually help me finish some of these things that I started. And so, through the ADHD and then the military background, everything that the military's instilled in me is, with processes and systems and checklists and just discipline and time management. I think the two together make for just an amazing combination to become an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So did you start out wholesaling? Is that how you started your real estate investing career?
Actually, my very first deal was a flip. I got my first flip about 2 weeks in to becoming a real estate investor. I went through a training, a real estate education program, and 2 weeks into that program, I got my first deal, and it happened to be a rehab. But the rehab quickly went south, and so I picked up my first couple of wholesales thereafter to try to make up for all the losses that I took on my first flip.
So, what's the big lessons learned on your first flip that you would recommend to folks not to make the same mistakes?
Oh my gosh. So it would be not to give up your power to the contractor. Getting into the business and starting out, I think, the contracting part of things, a lot of it is confusing and daunting and overwhelming. Whether it's private money or contracting or marketing, but with the contracting side of it, for me personally, I didn't know a lot about swinging hammers and everything that went into construction, and so I quickly, gave my contractor the benefit of the doubt and gave them the power to do what they want. And they blew smoke as much as anybody's ever blown smoke, and they ran off. I gave him a $5,000 deposit for a roof, and he ran with that. And then one of the estimates that he gave me, he said that the septic system was good to go when it had failed. So that was $20,000 that I didn't anticipate. So, the lesson that I learned was the system that we have in place now to vet and hire contractors. We have a five-step system that all contractors have to go through no matter what. There's no compromise in order for them to do work with us.
Yeah. Speaking of rehabbing, I was visiting with a gentleman this morning over the phone, and he's coming to my upcoming live event. Anyway, he's rehabbed one house, and he said that he and his wife actually did the work. And I told him a quick story. I said, a student of mine not long ago was saying, "Jay, I love rehabbing my own houses. It's like therapy to me." And I said to the student, I said, "Well, anybody who rehabs their own houses needs therapy. You agree with that,
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, mercy. Hey, look, do I look like I know how to swing a hammer?"
I don't know. Looks can be deceiving. I mean, people look at me and they're surprised that I don't know how to swing a hammer.
Well, these looks are not deceiving. I don't know how to swing, but you know what? I know how to find somebody that can find somebody to swing a hammer, right?
Yes, 100%. That's the entrepreneurial spirit right there.
Yeah, I like it that you've got a checklist put together, a five-step process on locating and actually vetting out contractors. Now, what I want to do, JP, I want to jump right in because right now, the timing of this question that I'm going to ask you could never be more relevant than today's market and economy. And that is, you know, whether you're wholesaling, rehabbing, it doesn't matter. You always got to find the deals. And, you know, my wife and I and our team, we've been doing this business since 2003 here in Eastern North Carolina. And I've never seen it more challenging for people, particularly that don't know what they're doing, to locate the motivated sellers. So my guess is in Williamsburg, Virginia, it's like where we live and most other places across the country, we sure can't rely on the multiple listing service to find deals these days, right?
Yeah, no, that's correct. I mean, it's so tight. We were, you know, we have a system where we try to submit about 10 to 15 offers a week, and there's just not 10 to 15 properties to put offers on the MLS anymore.
No. So I grew up in a little town called Newport, but the zip code services like 17 or 18,000 people. It's one of the markets that we invest in. And a year ago, there were right at 100 houses, which was not many, in the multiple listing service, 100 out of 17,000. And 2 weeks ago, there were 28.
So my goodness, that is so
are gone. So it's tight. So I don't want us to rush through this. I mean, if we don't talk about anything else other than this topic, this will be well worth the time of our listeners. And that is, in today's market, what are your favorite ways and best converting ways to find motivated sellers? And sub question to that, of course, it's going to take more than a sentence to answer that. Well, let's just start with that. How are you actually consistently getting motivated seller leads these days?
Yeah, that's a great question and super relevant to what, you know, the conversation that I'm having on a daily basis with so many investors. And we actually have 10 different marketing campaigns that we implement on a daily basis. And I would say the number one producing campaign that we have right now is text messaging and cold calling. And what we really love about text messaging and cold calling is the cost to actually acquire a deal is so much lower than most of the other paid forms of marketing out there. And also the response time is so much shorter, you know, where, you know, direct mail is a little bit more expensive and the response time to get a response back from a seller is typically a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, depending on the frequency in which you're sending your mail. And also whenever they feel motivated enough to contact you, you're waiting for their response rather than a text message or a cold call where you're hitting them right away. And you know by the end of that text or by that call if they're going to be motivated to sell or not. And so, you know, for our direct mail, we're typically, you know, every batch we try to get super hyper focused on about 300 to 500 names, and we'll send out batches of direct mail like that. But with text messaging, you know, we're sending out 3,000 to 5,000 text messages. So because the cost is so low, you know, we're able to cast a lot wider net and really increase our chances because, you know, as you know, Jay, and maybe your listeners know as well, like it's a numbers game, right? That's why we submit so many offers on the MLS. And that's why we love text messaging and cold calling because it's, you know, in a numbers game, if you're hitting 3,000 to 5,000, you're more likely to get, you know, a motivated seller. So that's really our number one campaign right now that we're paying for. Our next one that produces the most lead is, believe it or not, and I know that this is different for everybody across the nation, depending on what their municipality allows for, but bandit signs. You know, we still get a high number of conversions and calls off of bandit signs, and the cost to implement 100 bandit sign campaign is probably, you know, anywhere from $150 to $250 for the material. And then, you know, for us, we pay some high schooler $1 a sign to go put them out. So, I mean, we're all in for like $350 most of the time. And you could tell when our bandit signs go out, because we typically are getting calls that week from those bandit signs. And so that's a really good one for us on the paid side.
Yeah, on the bandit signs, what does your bandit sign say?
It says cash for house, 594 cash. That's all it says. It's yellow with black writing that says cash for house, 594 cash. It's super simple and as big as I can.
The 594 cash, what is that? Is that a number or what is that?
It is actually, and because our area is hyper local, I don't have to include an area code because of where we put it in South Jersey. So they, like anybody who sees the sign, just automatically assumes that it's a 609 number.
I got you, got you. Now back, before you continue to go forward, back to the texting and the outbound calling. I assume you've got that all automated with a virtual assistant doing the outbound calling and texting, right?
Yeah, I actually, the first time I thought I was going to be able to handle the texting myself. I kicked off a list of about 5,000 and I was texting a new owner every 10 seconds. And I started it and I went to go walk away from my desk and I got a response. I was like, oh, a response. And then like literally like every 10 seconds I would send one, I would get almost the same amount of responses coming in that whole day, 8 hours. I never left my desk. I'm like, yeah, no, I can't. There's no way I can run this myself. So I quickly, I actually did it the next day again, only to document the steps that I took to start it and what I did to respond to it. And I created, imagine this, a checklist or a system behind how I was doing what I was doing. And then I went out and I found a virtual assistant that could do it for me. And we have we've been through so many different virtual assistants until we found the company that we currently work with. And we've been working with them for a little over 3 years, and they've provided all of our virtual assistants since. So that's Reva Global. I don't know. Have you ever heard of Reva Global? R-E-V-A Global?
I haven't heard of them.
Oh, they're phenomenal. The way that they do business is completely different from any other virtual assistant company out there. And like I said, I've been with them for 3 years. So it's been amazing.
That's great. So what are your best performing list to text an outbound call? And just so everybody knows what we're talking about, there's all kinds of lists you can get. You can get absentee owners, you can get high equity, you can get low equity, you can get pre-foreclosure, you can get zombie listings, and the list goes on and on and on and on and on. What's your favorite best performing type of list?
Yeah, so I actually I do this thing where I actually put myself in the shoes situationally and through like life's like all the little different little milestones in life. And one of the best things that we ever discovered was taking what people, when do they normally buy houses? When do they normally sell houses throughout their life? And so typically that's when they get married. How long do people normally stay married? On average, 7 years, and then they have to sell a house. And if they stay together and they have kids, when do they typically sell a house? Like 20 years, when the kids graduate and the house is too big. And so we use that as markers of like, okay, and we work our way backwards and we basically say, at what time would somebody be in this specific situation? And so our favorite list right now that we're seeing the most leads come back are our absentee owners. So people who have bought a house that no longer live in that house that they bought between 2008 and 2012, because that was the lowest point in the market, as you know, Jay, right? So in 2008 and 2012, if they bought a house during that time, there's a couple of things that we know about this. One, great time to buy a house. Two, they have owned the house for long enough where on average, tenants last about 3 years in a property and then it turns over. And so if they've owned it since then, there's a chance that they've gone through at least three cycles of renters. And at this point, they may be like so fed up with turning properties over on top of what's currently going on with COVID and eviction moratorium. And also on top of that, the appreciation that's happening in the market. So the combination of all three of those, they bought low, they can sell high, and there's a potential that they're having non-performing tenants. Those are the ones that we're having the best luck with right now.
Gotcha. So you don't try to, or do you try to segregate? It's like on an absentee owner, you got two different kinds of people that own that house. You got people that are what we call professional landlords, right? They have multiple properties, but then you got people that just like, I live here. We live here in a next to a military town, Havelock, North Carolina, also Cherry Point Naval Air Base. And so a lot of the military will buy a house, then they move and they say, well, we'll keep the house and rent it out. So that's what I call non-professional landlords that just have like one property. Do you try to segregate and talk to those people differently, or an absentee owner is an absentee owner?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And we do think about that whenever we're talking to somebody. However, on the list that we're stacking, there's nothing in there that says that they're professional or not, unless they're owned by some sort of like LLC or trust, like, you know, something like that. That typically tells us that that's a professional landlord versus an accidental landlord. They got orders and now they moved and, you know, they're just happened to be a landlord because they couldn't sell the house in time or whatever. Right. So we don't segregate that, but that is something that we're aware of whenever they call in.
I got you. So in the time that we've got remaining, which is only about 5 minutes, I'd like for you to share with everybody how you run your company in an automated fashion with your team member. And what I mean by that is how the team communicates, how you're kept informed as to what's going on. So if you can just sort of walk us through step one, step two, step three, a campaign starts, right? So you got a campaign that starts. What happens from the time that somebody on your team buys the list or rents the list to closing a deal?
Yeah, so this is actually, gosh, I don't know if 5 minutes is enough to be able to describe it, because there's just so many different things that happen within that time. There's about 137 different tasks that we load into this program called Teamwork. It's basically a task tracking software that happens from purchase to sale. But to start from the beginning, I'm the one that always, I'm pulling and stacking all of the lists. And as soon as I get all those lists, I send it over to my skip tracing company, Best Skip Tracer. I send it over there. They give us all of the mobile numbers and the landlines and the emails. And as soon as we get that list back, we then load it into my virtual assistant will get that list. And then that list will get loaded into a text messaging platform as well as an email campaign platform. And then they kick that off. And once they go through, they have three different levels that they classify leads in. They have cold, warm, and hot. And what I've realized is that's different for everybody. So depending on what that lead is, depends on what they do with it. If it's a hot lead, that'll come straight to me or my acquisitions team through an email, and it goes into our system. We use a CRM or a customer relationship management tool. We use a CRM called RealFlow. And so RealFlow is where we track all of our leads and properties and stuff like that. And so
me and my team use the same thing.
Oh, beautiful. I love RealFlow. I've been on RealFlow for five years.
I love RealFlow too, but not to slow you down. But the one thing that is a challenge with RealFlow is it doesn't communicate from the CRM to actually being able to communicate back out to the people like others.
Correct.
And you know what I'm talking about. I mean, we have to like manually, like when they come in and respond, I got a virtual assistant manually putting all the leads in RealFlow. And quite frankly, I just haven't wanted to deal with changing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and so for us, it's not broke, so we're not looking to fix it. I'm sure that there's other tools out now since we've implemented 5 years ago that will allow for that automation, but we have a really good system built out. Right. So, you know, once, if it's a hot lead, it goes into RealFlow, we get notified. And then from there, I'm the one that picks up the phone. I'll do the negotiations. I'll put it under contract and then I'll hand it back to my acquisitions team. And they'll either, if it's a wholesale, they'll market it to our buyers list. Or if it's a rehab, we'll start, or a rental, we'll start working that 30-day contract to close window where there's a ton of different tasks. And again, teamwork is what keeps all of us on track. We're all virtual. Nobody actually lives in the state that we actually flip and do our business in. So everybody's virtual. So that's that. I think that to answer your question, Jay, the communication piece, there needs to be a communication piece that's virtual, whether it's Google Drive, Google Hangouts, email, teamwork, something where people can keep track of the different tasks that need to be done. So that way people get notified. And so that way the process can keep happening without a bunch of different phone calls. And so once we get up to that purchase part, you know, we remotely close on everything. And as soon as we close on it, it goes into the redevelopment stage with our contractor, who we've highly vetted up into this point. So then our contractor has a weekly, they take pictures and they take videos and they'll submit that inside of our system, Teamwork. And from there, we'll review everything. And we actually cut an e-check. So we have an e-check system through Deluxe e-checks. And so once we review the videos and the pictures, we literally just go right on the computer. We cut them the check for the draw that they're requesting, and they continue to keep working. And then we'll do that all the way through to the end of the project. And then our realtor is someone who we heavily rely on to constantly visit the property because they have a vested interest in the finished product, the speed in which we complete things. And so we'll have our realtor communicate with us the whole time, keeping eyes on the project. And then once it's ready, we hand it off to our realtor and they do, you know, all the marketing on the back end to sell it. And I mean, there's a whole bunch of other things in between that, but that's really like the high level and how we communicate.
What's your criteria on staying in a deal and rehabbing it or wholesaling it out to another real estate investor?
So I wholesale it if it's a really good deal. I don't keep any of the really good deals. I only keep the tight deals, the ones where there's no really meat on the bone. If it's a really good deal, then those are the ones that I'm wholesaling out. And so we actually use the 70% rule, 70% of ARV minus the repairs. That's our offer. Typically, if we can get someone to accept that, that leaves us, you know, from that 70 to about 73% in our market, that 3% is what I use for my wholesale fee. Now, if I have to come up on my offer and include that extra 3% into my offer, then that's the ones that I keep.
I gotcha. That makes sense. And so one last question, and that is everything you're doing is virtual. So who are your eyes and who are your feet going at looking at properties in these different cities? Is it the general contractor? Is it the realtor? Is it all the above? Yep. Who's yep. looking and taking pictures?
So realtors and contractors are the two main people. We've actually, because of the network that I'm in, the real estate education that I joined, I have a large network, about 35,000 people across the nation. And so I can actually go into that network and I can say, hey, does anybody want to learn while they earn? And I teach them the systems and they could be my boots on the ground there. And so they'll do like an unpaid internship or maybe a small paid internship to be like that pseudo project manager, visiting the property, looking at the repairs. And we teach them how to do all that.
That's great. That's great. Well, JP, parting comments and advice, and we'll give out your contact info one more time.
Yeah. So there's one thing that I always love to tell everybody that I speak to. And it's kind of cheeseball, but it's totally true. It's, you know, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're right. And so a lot of the times as real estate investors, this game is really tough on us. And so I think the story that we tell ourselves is extremely important to our success. Right. So if this is something like a real estate, if people want to be a successful real estate investor, they have to believe in themselves and they have to, you know, at the beginning, it's a lot of you have to eat, sleep and breathe real estate investing, especially if you're trying to do it part time. So being willing to sacrifice, you know, TV, fantasy football, fishing and all the stuff that you love in order to get that up and running. You know, that's what it takes sometimes, especially if you're trying to attack it part time.
Excellent advice, JP. JP, thank you so much for joining me here on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me. It was a blast.
Absolutely. So, folks, there you have it. JP Kultoff, and his website again is www.inspiredabull.com. That's I-N, the word inspired, I-N-S-P-I-R-E-D-A-B-L-E, inspiredabull.com. Check out JP. He's phenomenal. Glad to have everyone joining us here on the show today. And wow, I know you were impressed today on today's show. I'm Jay Connor, the Private Money Authority, wishing you all the best. Here's to taking your business to the next level. And we'll see you right here on the next show, Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor.